The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, it's Thursday, and the insanity level has gone, full tilt boogie, I guess. There's so much to talk about. You know, Thursday's the day of the week that Howie Klein joins us. And for those of you who are new or who aren't familiar, Howie Klein is, these days, he's a political animal. He blogs at downwithtyranny.com. And he, along with Digby and John Amato of Crooks and Liars, runs the Blue America Pack, which is there expressly to identify great progressive candidates, mostly for congressional runs, but for other offices as well, and to convince them to run, identify them, convince them to run, and help raise money for them. But the key word there is progressive. So, every week, obviously, with that being sort of the topic at large, if you will. Each Thursday morning, I email Howie to ask if there's anything in particular that he would like to focus on. For instance, usually he'll send me back an article that he's in the middle of writing for downwithtyranny.com and say, well, this post will go live at, say, 1 o'clock Pacific, which is when we wrap up. Anyway, so I send him an email and ask if there's anything in particular he'd like to discuss. And what I said to him, hold on, I want to share it with you. I said, anything in particular you'd like to hit on today? It's not like there's a million shitty things happening all at once or anything. And he said, well, I don't know. What did you have in mind? And so my response was, well, there's Epstein, there's racism, there's Trump tweeting about how Omar and Rashid shouldn't be allowed into Israel, and moments later they're banned. There's the Dow tanking and signs of a global recession coming. There's Steve King's ugliness resurfacing and the Republicans doing nothing about it. There's Frackenlooper dropping out, perhaps running for the Senate. Of course, there's always guns and what's not happening. And, I left it at that. So, yes, there's a lot to talk about. But I want to start with, in the midst of all this hatred that we're seeing, I want to start with something that I saw on Twitter this morning. It was and we'll get into the Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib story in just a minute. But this is another story that's not getting very much attention, but it should. It's out of Rhode Island, where a pickup truck driven by a guard at a detention facility in Rhode Island plowed right into a group of protesters outside the facility. I kid you not. Now, originally I was going to play for you the raw video of the of when it happened, because that's there. It's on Twitter. It's all over the internet. ABC, Good Morning America, this morning actually did a segment on it. I want to share that with you before we move forward. So this is from Good Morning America this morning, talking about an incident that happened last night at a protest at a migrant detention facility or concentration camp, whichever you prefer to call it, in Rhode Island. Here we go.
ICE protest in Rhode Island overnight. A driver ramming into a crowd of demonstrators, multiple injuries. ABC's Janae Norman here with the very latest on this. Janae, great to have you.
David, good morning. This was a scary situation for those demonstrators who were protesting the treatment of migrants outside the Wyatt Detention Center. They say dozens of them were linking arms and chanting when a guard drove his truck right into them.
This protest appears to be peaceful, but quickly turning into a scary clash after a driver plowed his pickup truck into this crowd of demonstrators.
He drove right into
them. In this shocking video outside the Wyatt Detention Center in Rhode Island, you can see the truck driven by an alleged corrections officer approach the entrance to the detention center's parking lot.
This is unbelievable.
We're a bunch of peaceful protesters. We're sitting on the ground blocking this parking lot when a correctional officer in this SUV comes barreling through us.
Before attempting to drive straight through the crowd of Jewish protesters, many advocating for the human rights of migrants detained by ICE.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
Five protesters suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Reports say immediately following the truck going into that crowd, officers came out and surrounded the truck in hopes of moving the protesters.
Listen to this.
Everyone back up!
Watch. When the crowd of roughly 600 demonstrators doesn't disperse, the officers use pepper spray.
They were pepper sprayed.
And while officers used pepper spray, protesters say those officers did nothing to address the driver. When reached by ABC News, the detention center offered no comment this morning.
Shocker, right? So here we go. Now, the group who put on the protest is a group called Never Again Action. And their website is neveragainaction.com. And actually, I reached out to them this morning because I was so incensed by what I saw. So this group, again, they write on their page, it says, we've been taught the signs by our ancestors. As our government runs concentration camps and rounds up and cages our neighbors, we are called to speak out. Hashtag never again is now. Please join us and our immigrant allies in the fight to shut down ICE, close the camps, and stop the roundups and deportations. And the website then lists protests they've organized around the country. They've done 36 actions in 6 weeks. And again, last night, a group was protesting the treatment of migrants outside the Wyatt Detention Center in Rhode Island when a guard at that facility drove his pickup truck right into the crowd. It is just unbelievable, yet this is happening. So, as I said, I reached out to the group Never Again Action, and they put me in touch with Jared Goldstein. Jared, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you so much for being here. Jared is a law professor, and at what school do you teach, Jared?
I teach at Roger Williams University School of Law in Bristol, Rhode Island.
And you're a constitutional law professor, among other things. And you were at the protest last night, obviously, because you're concerned what our nation is doing. I don't want to put words into your mouth. But how did you get involved with this group? What made you be there yesterday?
Well, I was there last night with my wife and our two kids.
Oh, boy.
Who are teenagers. This is the second protest we've attended that was organized by the Never Again Action. And we're there, you know, as Americans and as American Jews, because we believe, you know, that never again is now. That slogan really carried a lot of weight with us because we're taught, you know, as Jews to never let anything like the Holocaust, like a genocide, happen. And that means we don't wait until they build gas chambers. We don't wait until they're already, you know, rounding up everyone of one denomination. You know, we have to act, you know, at the beginning. You know, we have to be ever vigilant to stop tyranny, to stop genocide before it happens. And, you know, my wife and my children and I, you know, just believe this strongly. And so when, you know, we started hearing about these protests, it really resonated with us. And we thought, you know, we should act. We can't just sit back and let this happen.
Right.
And here in our community, you know, in Rhode Island, we have a detention facility. It doesn't represent our values. It's a private prison, or it's operated in, you know, a partnership with public officials that's holding detainees, you know, who are asylum seekers and others who are taken from the southern border and brought up here, isolated from everyone else and held behind barbed wires. And what we see happening, you know, with children being separated from parents and people held in cages, and the denial of the rule of law to people who are seeking asylum, it just, you know, is not right. It doesn't represent who we are, what kind of country we think we should have.
It's insane. And so I'm just learning about this group, Never Again Action. Again, their website, neveragainaction.com. And look, I also, an American Jew of, Russian heritage, I'm watching what's going on in utter disbelief, hearing this guy who is, you know, occupying the White House these days, daring to speak for the Jews. How dare he, and criticize those of us who call these detention centers concentration camps, because literally that's what they are. So you went out to protest. It was a peaceful protest. I saw the video. One account on Good Morning America said there were about 600 people there, regardless of how many people there. You were peacefully protest, carrying signs, chanting, protesting the treatment of these migrants at this facility. And a pickup truck drives up right up to the line of people sitting and stops short and then starts plowing through them. Where were you in relation to this truck when this happened?
I was right in the line of where the truck was going. I was there with my two kids, my teenagers. You know, we were just sitting there, just as you say, you know, sitting on the ground like a sit-in, chanting and singing Jewish songs, you know, and other, you know, chants, to express our view about what's happening in this country and about our immigration policy. And mm-hmm. just as you said, you know, a pickup truck, you know, drives up really fast and really close. You know, people jumped out of the way, and then he hit the gas again and went right into the crowd. And people were hurt. People were screaming.
Uh-huh.
And we stood up. The people who were, you know, well, who had been sitting, all, you know, jumped up and stood. We were blocking entrance to the parking lot because we're trying to shut down the facility.
Sure.
But peacefully,
right.
Nonviolently.
Right.
So we stood up and, you know, suddenly, you know, well, we could see then that the driver was an officer. He was wearing a badge. I didn't know then. I know now that he was a corrections officer who works at the detention facility. But he, you know, calmly sat in his car while we were, you know, singing and chanting. But he got out his walkie-talkie, and within a couple minutes, a group of, I don't know, 8 or 10 armed guards from the correction facility, you know, the detention facility, came out, you know, full armor, came out and started pushing the crowd out of the way to let the truck go into the parking lot. And while they're pushing, they, you know, took out pepper spray and sprayed the crowd. So this is how they treat peaceful protesters.
Unreal.
We're sitting there chanting and, you know, singing, peacefully sitting there, and they try to drive a truck into us, and then they push us out of the way and used chemical weapons against us. This is, you know, this just shows the violent mentality, you know, that, you know, is at the heart of our immigration policy. If this is how they treat people, you know, when everyone is watching, you know, this is, you know, there are videos of this event from every angle,
mm-hmm.
because everyone's out there with their phones. If this is how they're willing to act in broad daylight under while the media is there, how do they behave behind closed doors, behind the barbed wire with all the, you know, the detainees there? They clearly didn't see us. They didn't see our humanity. You know, that driver, you know, just saw us as an obstacle. He was willing to drive right over us.
Right.
And the guys who sprayed the pepper spray, you know, we were just there, you know, they were there to help their guy and get him into the parking lot. If that's how they see us, you know, that is, if they don't see our humanity, I just can't imagine, you know, how they feel about the people whose job it is to for them to detain.
Right. Now, so what happened to the driver of the truck? Because as far as I'm aware, driving a truck into a crowd of people is illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. He should be charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah, at least.
Maybe attempted murder. It's hard to know because it was clearly intentional. I mean,
right.
Because he drove right up into the crowd, stopped short, and then hit the gas again.
Yeah, I saw the video.
Nothing happened to him last night. I mean, the local police were there. as far as I could see, they didn't question him. He stood out, you know, he stood outside with his iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts,
oh my God.
Drank it calmly, and then, you know, they never questioned him. They never questioned the officers, you know, these private, you know, who work at the private, this private detention facility.
Right.
They never questioned them about their, you know, the violence that, that they inflicted. I did see that, you know, the state attorney general has said that they're going to investigate. And I now see that the facility has placed him on administrative leave while the investigation is going on. They just issued a statement that, that said it. But last night, nothing happened. They didn't even question him.
That's amazing.
And then the police wouldn't take our statements either. They took down my name and number. They haven't called me. Nobody has called.
Now you're a lawyer. Again, we're speaking with Jared Goldstein. Not only is he a lawyer, he teaches constitutional law at Roger Williams University School of Law in Rhode Island. And I'm looking through your bio here, and it's really impressive. I mean, you were one of the first civilian lawyers allowed into Guantanamo Bay, representing some of the families of Kuwaiti detainees. You served as at one point in the Solicitor General's office. I mean, you've got real credentials here. Is this something that you could go to the police and say, I want to file charges? This guy tried to run me down with his truck?
We hope so. I mean, I know that a group of people are planning to go to the police station tonight to file criminal complaints, and we'll see what happens. I hope that when the attorney general says that he's investigating, I hope that he's serious and he means it. We'll see. I mean, I also hope that the investigation isn't just about this one officer or even the group of officers who pepper sprayed us, but about what's happening inside Wyatt. I mean, because we don't know. I mean, the place could not be any less transparent than it is. I mean, nobody knows what happens behind the barbed wire. We don't know how they're carrying out the policies that they're, the immigration policies that they're enforcing.
Oh my
so,
God.
You know, I hope that they investigate this officer. I hope they investigate all the officers who are involved in, you know, the violence that they perpetrated last night. But I also hope frankly, that the state sees that this institution has no place in Rhode Island, has no place in our community, because the state could shut this detention facility down tomorrow. It's a creature of, or at least it's regulated by state law. They could enact a law that, you know, shut down the Wyatt detention facility, you know, tomorrow if the state was willing to. I just hope that state leaders, you know, now can see the facility for what it is, you know, an evil, violent presence that doesn't represent who we are.
Right. Well, I hope so, too. It's the law of unintended consequences that thankfully this video, and there's enough of it out there, it's all over the internet, and I will do my share in helping to push it. It's out there so everybody can see what was done to peaceful protesters who are exercising their rights.
We were lucky. I mean,
I
walked away. We were feeling just so lucky that nobody was killed. I mean, I do see somebody broke their leg. I saw that
really?
In the news today, but we were so lucky that nobody was run over. I mean, this was another, you know, this could have been worse than Charlottesville.
Yeah.
You know, the protester there who was killed by a,
right.
you know, a
and it's just,
white
it,
nationalist.
It was just the second year, I hate to say anniversary, because that connotes something positive, of that murder. And this guy does this, and he's allowed to walk away. I'm flummoxed. I can't believe that the police let him walk, that he wasn't arrested on the spot.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I hope that that's not the end of it. It was just, you know, it was terrifying.
I'll bet.
But we were I was lucky. My family was lucky. I mean, but some, you know, people were hurt. But we're all lucky that no one got killed. And I do think that it can show, you know, the videos that are out there can show, the core violence that this system represents.
Yes.
You know, well, that this is how far they're willing to go against people who are just protesting their policies. That is, people who just say, "What we think what you're doing is immoral and wrong." That's how they treat us. So if violence is their answer to people who disagree with them, you know, just imagine the violence that they're capable of using against
other
people that they don't see as fully human, who are held behind, you know, barbed wire and where no one can watch.
Right. Well, again, the website neveragainaction.com has a list of different actions that will have been taken. And in fact, the action in Rhode Island was the last one. There's a new one planned for the 19th in Nashville. But somebody in the chat room just asked, is there a list anywhere of, you know, where these facilities are? But no, but I'm seeing this list of where Never Again Action has held these protests, and it's everywhere. New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, California, Pennsylvania, Chicago, New York, DC. I mean, it goes on. And I'm in South Florida, and I see Broward Transitional Center in Pompano Beach. Well, that's probably 20 minutes from me. And, you know, these facilities are everywhere, and we may not know about them. Jared Goldstein, thank you so much, first of all, for going out last night and for being willing to talk about what happened. We need to get this story out there. We need to make sure that everybody knows about it. I mean, there's other every day under this Trump regime, there's other heinous news that seems worse than the thing we heard about, you know, 2 hours ago or yesterday or whatever. We need to somehow make sure all of it is heard and that people know what is going on in our names and that this is not okay. So, Jared, thank you again for joining us today. And I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for getting the news out there.
Well, it's important. Thank you. Yeah, and keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. This is stunning. It really just, God, my God, is sickening. I want to share with you from this this group, NeverAgainAction.com. I want to read to you a little bit of what it says on their website. What the U.S. government is doing at the border and in immigrant communities all around the country is nothing short of a mass atrocity. Children are being separated from their families at the border and imprisoned in concentration camps. ICE raids are increasing in frequency and severity, instilling fear and terror into immigrant communities. People are dying at the border as they flee for their safety. As Jews, we were taught to never let anything like the Holocaust happen again. We refuse to wait and see. We know from our own history what happens next. Many of our ancestors narrowly escaped from conditions like what we are seeing today in concentration camps at the border and detention centers around the country. Never again is now. If you've ever wondered what you would have done if you had been alive in the 1940s, this is the moment of truth. This is the time to put our bodies on the line, because when we say never again, we mean never again for anyone. So again, if you're interested in this group, finding out the work they're doing, seeing if there's going to be a protest near you, neveragainaction.com is their website. Let me add one other thing. Orange is the New Black. A few years ago, it was like the biggest thing on TV, on Netflix and all that. And then it had a couple of really not so great seasons where it kind of jumped the shark. Well, the final season, the final season of Orange is the New Black is streaming now. It's up on Netflix, and we've been watching it. And I got to tell you something. If you watched for a while and you got fed up and tuned, go back. You don't even skip the seasons that you missed. Watch the seventh and final season. It's all about this. It deals with ICE. It deals with the way our government is treating immigrants. It deals with the way our government is treating dreamers and prisoners. It is so well done. I can't praise it highly enough. And especially in light of what's happening in the news right now, I highly, highly recommend it. Somebody just said, I've never seen it. It's on Netflix. Watch it. I mean, watch the whole thing if you have time. You got seven seasons there. You can binge. Season five was Season six was, I think, even weirder. But this last season is excellent. All right. Before we move on, I still didn't get to the news. I think we're going to have to play What's News after the official show ends, just because I had to do that. I had to point out what happened last night in Rhode Island and talk about what is going on. And it actually, that story and the rest of what's happening in this nation, that the president of the United States seeing that there's there was some trepidation in Israel, that for the past few days, there have been reports that the Israeli government was considering blocking Congresswomen Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib from entering Israel on the grounds that they backed the BDS movement. BDS stands for Boycott, Divest, and Sanctions. And it's a topic, honestly, that we have not spent really any time on here. And I'll explain, mostly because it's so fucking complicated. And I don't, look, do I support the movement? Yeah, I kind of do. Because I think the actions of Israel under this Netanyahu regime are heinous and inhumane. And the way they treat the people, the Palestinians that are imprisoned in the open air prison that is known as Gaza Strip, is just sickening. Now, are the Palestinians guilty of doing bad things to Israel? Yes, there's evil all around, but two wrongs don't make a right, and something's got to give. So anyway, Donald Trump sees, understands that you know, the Israeli government is considering blocking them, and the idiot in chief, Colt 45, tweets out this morning, quote, "It would show great weakness if Israel allowed Rep. Omar and Rep. Tlaib to visit. They hate Israel and all Jewish people, and there's nothing that can be said or done to change their minds." Fuck you! Who died and left you arbiter of what other people think? How dare you, Trump, push your thoughts onto people who you've never met? But you know what they're thinking and what they're feeling. Fuck you. And the tweet continued, "Minnesota and Michigan will have a hard time putting them back in office. They are a disgrace." Hey, Donald Trump, before I move on, I got to find it. I got a song for you. Fuck you. So, yeah. So in the wake of all that going on, I just, for some reason, felt compelled to seek out the entire text of Emma Lazarus's The New Colossus. I shared it on my Facebook page. I would have tweeted it out, but it's a little too long. But it goes like this. "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that Twin Cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." I feel like we need to pause for a moment for a group cry. A group cry. And, you know, to show you what's wrong with this nation, Steve King is back. Now, dare I say, if Steve King were a Democrat and said something 1/100th as obscene, as offensive as the crap that spews from Steve King's mouth, this person would have been long exiled. But racist Steve King gets to continue serving in Congress, representing the people of Iowa? And you wonder why I bitch every 4 years that Iowa is the first arbiter of the American public's tastes and feelings when it comes to electing a new president? Bullshit. Sorry, I've lost listeners before over, you know, denigrating certain cities, but or states. Iowa? Sorry. Iowa is no more representative of the United States of America than, you know, Billings, Wyoming is, or Montana. Billings, Montana? Whatever. You get the idea. So Steve King spoke with the Des Moines Register the other day because, you know, he lives in Iowa. And Steve King was defending the practice of not allowing exceptions for abortion in cases of rape or incest. I can't even put into words how disgusting it is what he said. So we'll just listen to the audio. This is Steve King speaking with the Des Moines Register. He said this on record to a newspaper.
What if it was okay? And what if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that? Considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society, I know I can't certify that.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I need a shower now. What if we pulled out all the victims of rape or incest? Would there be any humans left? Hey, Steve King, I got a song for you, too.
Fuck you.
I just had to get that out there. And I've been informed that Billings is actually pretty blue. Thank you, Dr. Diff, in the YouTube chat room. I was trying to come up with some really red place. Corpus Christi, Texas. How's that? You get the idea. Anyway, it is Thursday. And on Thursdays, that's when we get together with our pal Howie Klein and talk about all the things going on in the world. Oh, my God. Now you know why I start the show each day with something funny. Because if we don't laugh, you know the alternative. All right.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hi, Howie Klein.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I, you know, each day, I just, it's almost a little game I play with myself, but it's making me even crazier than I already was. On how much worse can things get today than they were yesterday? It's just the shit show that keeps, that, you know, never stops giving. Today, of course, the latest with Israel saying that two sitting U.S. members of Congress are banned from entering their country. And, of course, they issued their final decree after Donald Trump tweeted that they should be banned from going into Israel.
Israel had already decided to let them in.
Oh, really?
So this was a change of heart. And one of the top Israeli journalists wrote today that Netanyahu wanted to let them in, but he got so much pressure from Trump that he decided not to. So this is, you know, another example of Trump, you know, just wrecking the United States foreign policy, which is what he does. Now there's problems between Israel and the Democrats, or at least between Netanyahu and the Democrats. Even AIPAC has come out against what Netanyahu has done, and they've been, you know, the firmest allies in America of Netanyahu. So, you know, there's Trump again, you know, sitting in the middle of a shit show.
Unreal. And I don't know if you saw this. I spent a good portion of the first half hour of the show talking about it and actually speaking with somebody who was there, a lawyer who happened to be protesting this migrant detention facility, a private prison, if you will, in Rhode Island last night, when a guard from the facility came up on the protesters in his pickup truck and basically drove right into them. Nothing happened to the guard. He wasn't arrested or anything. This, I mean, I don't know what country this is anymore.
Did he hurt anybody?
Yeah, people were hurt. Thankfully, nobody was killed. The gentleman I spoke to said at least five people were hurt. One person has a broken leg. I was a bit shocked because this guy is not only a lawyer himself, but also a law professor. And, you know, if I had the legal chops and I was there, I would have marched right over to the police station and demanded that guard be arrested. I don't know. I guess he's waiting for them to call him. I wouldn't wait.
I'm sure it will happen. I mean, it's a pretty much all Democratic state. And, you know, there's a Democratic governor, Democratic legislature, all, you know, the whole delegation to Washington is Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it's if it really is a private prison,
uh-huh,
and this guy is an employee of a private prison, I'm sure something will happen.
Oh, they,
now,
well,
were they on? Were they trespassing on the property?
Nope. They were out on the sidewalk in front of the detention center. On the sidewalk when this guy drove up on them. By the way, the Wyatt Detention Facility just issued a statement. What they said is, it just popped up on my Twitter feed, the incident which occurred last night is currently being investigated by the Rhode Island State Police. Donald W. Wyatt Detention Facility Warden Daniel Martin is also conducting a top-to-bottom review of the incident. Wyatt Correctional Officer's response and the Wyatt's protocols regarding protest activities outside of the facility. Captain Thomas Woodworth, who I guess is the driver, has been placed on administrative leave pending the results of the independent investigation being conducted by the Rhode Island State Police and the Wyatt's internal investigation. The Wyatt supports the First Amendment right of citizens to peacefully protest on public property surrounding the facility and the First Amendment rights of journalists to report on the facility. So that's their statement.
Yeah, that guy's going to go to jail.
He better go to jail. And apparently there's video. Good Morning America did a report on it this morning, and there's video that's circulating on the interwebs. Apparently, the cops then surrounded the vehicle, or the correction officers, and you know, to keep the protesters away from this guy who tried to kill them, and then they pepper sprayed the protesters.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. Lovely,
they will.
Right?
There's going to, you know, something's going to happen there. Whether they close it down or you know, they'll fire people. This isn't going to. I mean, we're talking about Rhode Island. We're not talking
right
about Texas.
True. That's true. Well, I'm just amazed that this happened at all. I saw the video and my jaw dropped. And again, it's not getting a lot of attention, probably because there's so much else going on. As I wrote to you in the email, Howie, I mean, first, I guess the big news today is not even that the Dow dropped 800 points yesterday, but the fact that the president of the United States is telling a foreign leader to ban sitting members of Congress from his country. Isn't that sedition or something?
Well, it's definitely wrong. I don't know if sedition. I mean, he's
right,
and he can do whatever he wants in
but
terms of foreign policy.
Can he really?
You know, this is, you know, I don't know. What can I say?
I don't know.
They're gonna, you know, be another charge against him in the impeachment hearings that'll never happen. Or it'll be something that some people make up their mind as a reason to not vote for him.
I mean,
presumably there will be some people who decide, whether it's like 10 people or 1,000 people or 10,000 people, there'll be some number of people where this was the final thing. And they'll not vote for him. You know, if they're Republicans, then maybe they won't vote at all, or maybe they'll vote for a third party candidate, or maybe they'll vote for Bernie.
Yeah.
So whoever the Democrats nominate, God forbid it would be Biden.
Oh, God. And, you know, you brought up a good point. The reason why I asked, does he, is because you said, well, the president can do whatever he wants when it comes to foreign policy. That's a question that I really think has to be addressed by this Congress. Impeachment or not, they need to define, I think, the rights, what am I looking for? What Donald Trump always says, he has all these powers as dictated by Article 2 of the Constitution that give him no such powers at all. I think Congress needs to delineate exactly what powers a president does have, because this guy, this grifter, this crook, seems to be saying, like Nixon, if I'm the president, it's not illegal, when it is.
Right. So you have Bernie in the Senate and Ro Khanna in the House, both having passed bipartisan legislation. Obviously, Trump's not going to sign it, but it was passed with bipartisan majorities in both houses that do delineate to some extent some of the powers that he has and doesn't have. So that was a big deal that they were able to do that. And then, you know, none of those things are going anywhere except that they were passed. And once we have a decent president in the White House, Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, they'll be signed. Repassed.
Good. Well, I hope so. In the meantime, you know, Congress, one of my biggest complaints, and I think I probably bitch to you about it every week when we speak, is that the Democrats seem to be toothless when it comes to oversight. And so I was thrilled to see an article this morning up at the American Prospect. Their website, by the way, is prospect.org. And the headline is, "Have Democrats Forgotten How to Do Oversight?" And it's by a guy named Jim Lardner, who I've never met before, but I reached out to him and invited him to come on the show tomorrow to talk about this, because he not only talks about how the Democrats need to step up with oversight, but gives them step-by-step, basically, instructions on where the oversight is necessary and how to go about doing it. And somebody needs to hand-deliver this to Nancy Pelosi and other members of leadership.
Right, or members of the committee, I guess.
Yeah. Right. So I'm about to.
You think that you have your hands full of all of what Trump is doing. Imagine poor Elijah Cummings.
Oh, my God.
Where there's more stuff every single day. I mean, you know, I mean, they must be just completely overwhelmed. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a strategy of the White House's now, is just to, you know, overwhelm them so that, you know, once they get started on something, then there's, you know, 20 other things that are even more egregious.
Right. And that's the problem.
No, the Constitution never assume there would ever be anyone like Donald Trump.
No.
And the only, except in one way, and that's impeachment. And now we have Nancy Pelosi preventing that.
Right. So there was a big, you know, oh my God, last week, in fact, when we spoke, my congressman had finally stepped up and became the one to make it a majority of the House Democratic Caucus, who have now supported impeachment proceedings. But it was sort of anticlimactic, not only on his part, the op-ed he wrote for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, but Gerald Nadler as well, who came out and said, yeah, you know, what's all the fuss about? We're already in the impeachment inquiry. Really? They should be screaming it from the rafters,
shouldn't
they?
I understand where he's coming from, and he, in a way, is right, but he's not. You know, he wouldn't even be going that far if it wasn't for the fact he's being primaried from the left. So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other is, you know, it's different. If they were impeaching him, if that was what they were doing, that would mean that the public would be glued to the TV sets. They've
right.
ruined that already. It's no matter what they do, that's over.
Right.
They've.
Yeah, you got Nancy Pelosi, you know, trying to shame Mitch McConnell into bringing the Senate back to deal with the major crises in this country. Yet she's still gallivanting around the globe and hasn't brought the House back.
Right. Well, her point, of course, is that, you know, the House passed.
Right. We already did our job. Now they need to do theirs.
Well, that's right. They passed a background checks bill, and then McConnell isn't allowing it to be voted on, and that's why she's asking him to come back, to bring the Senate back. And she says that if they pass one and it's not the same as the House, then she'll bring back the House and for a conference committee so that they can come up with something that'll work. But the thing is Mitch McConnell is never, ever, no matter what he says, will never, ever allow a vote on that bill because it would embarrass some of Republican members who might then lose their seats.
Aww.
So he's never allowed that to happen. And I'm thinking about it now. I'm really seriously considering it. That's just running out the clock on the attention span of the public. That's all that is. And he knows very well that in another hour, week, 2 weeks, the attention span on the two massacres will be over.
Oh.
And then, you know, nothing will happen. That's why if they don't do it right away, it never happens. The other thing, which is in my mind more important,
yeah,
since whatever they would pass in terms of background checks isn't going to be much. It's just not going to be.
Not going to be adequate. It's not going to do enough.
Not gonna,
right.
God, it's funny. There's something much more important that could happen, which would be a sales ban on assault
yes.
weapons. And David Cicilline has introduced that. Almost 200 Democrats have signed on as co-sponsors. No Republicans yet, although several Republicans have indicated they'll vote for it. But, I tried to shame the approximately 40 Democrats who refused to be co-sponsors. And there aren't 40, but there were almost 40.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them have now co-sponsored it, including I got into a little Twitter argument with Julian Castro because he's carrying on about banning assault weapons. And I said, why don't you talk to your brother about it, since he's one of the only Democrats who hasn't signed on till Friday. And then we're going to war. And either yesterday or the day before yesterday, his brother Joaquin Castro, who's a congressman from San Antonio, where Julian used to be mayor, and they're twin brothers.
Right.
So he did sign on as a co-sponsor after refusing for several months. I mean, they've been trying to get this going for months, and he refused to do it. He did it yesterday, and he wasn't the only one. There were several who did, including some of the most conservative members of Congress, like Josh Gottheimer, who is literally the most conservative Democrat
right.
in Congress. He signed on to it as well. Again, he has a primary from the left. This woman is pounding on him, and his district is mostly suburban. Certainly the Democratic part of the district is 100% suburban and small town.
Mm-hmm.
And he signed. So, it's valuable to have, even if they don't win, it's very, very valuable to have primaries, because it really keeps some of these guys on the straight and narrow to some extent.
Well, of course. Now, you mentioned Nadler being primaried from the left, Howie. Does the DCCC still have that policy of blacklisting any, consultant groups or contractors that work with anybody primarying an incumbent?
They do. They still have that policy. But the DCCC right now is moribund. What's her name? Destroyed
Sherry Bustos.
Sherry Bustos, yeah. She fired the staff. I mean, the staff was caught being racist and
right.
Anti-gay. And so instead of taking the rap herself, since it was all her fault, she just fired the whole upper echelon of the staff. So the DCCC can't do anything now. They're a wreck. They're trying to rebuild the organization. The morale, there is no morale. It's just a disaster. So yes, they have that rule still, which I like to call the Cherry Bustos rule.
Uh-huh.
But the DCCC doesn't mean much right now. They can't do anything. And just people, when they bark at somebody, they just get laughed at.
Ay, ay, ay. Just ineffective. And it's horrible. It's horrible to hear, because frankly, the Democrats are the only alternative. I know there are there's the Green Party and the Working Family Party. The Democrats are the only legitimate, realistic alternative to the Republicans when it comes to governing this country. So we need to make them better.
But we're better off without the DCCC, especially
right.
at this point during the primaries, because they only support conservatives.
Right.
They don't support progressives. So at this point, who wants them around? Because what they do is disadvantage progressives. Whenever there's a progressive and a conservative running in a primary, they will always go around and tell donors to not support the progressive and give
mm-hmm.
money to the conservative and do other things like that. Whether they're subtle or they're blatant, they'll get the conservatives on MSNBC.
Oh, always.
And try to create a narrative that it's in the bag for the conservatives.
Right. And that's what they're doing.
And they do that constantly.
Oh.
And it works for them. And now they can't do much. The head of communications was one of the people who got fired.
Uh-huh.
So there's not much they're still trying to do as worst job as they can. In that regard, but they don't have the power that they did a few weeks ago.
Right. And again, you're talking about the DCCC, but we can expand it because you mentioned the media and MSNBC, which is owned by Comcast, who, has put on fundraisers for Joe Biden. That's their candidate. And it seems like a directive on that channel to downplay certainly Bernie Sanders, and I've noticed it to a lesser extent Elizabeth Warren. They just want to downplay the progressives. I don't know if you caught wind of this story that happened yesterday. Bernie's campaign is doing this Bernie story thing, trying to get people to share their stories about Bernie Sanders. MSNBC, Brian Williams, does a piece on it, and instead of highlighting one of the many thousands of compelling, uplifting, inspirational stories that people have shared, they share a tweet with a guy who goes by the name of Horse Whisperer on Twitter, who's an avowed Bernie Sanders hater. And it was a smear. And so there's this old brouhaha, on Twitter over why MSNBC would do this, go out of their way to smear Bernie Sanders. Then somebody figured out the identity of this Horse Whisperer guy. Didn't give his address or phone number, but did say his name, which apparently was visible and public on a LinkedIn account. It's just, it's amazing the effort that the corporate and conservative beings go through to smear good candidates. The lengths they're going
Bernie
to.
Bernie has said this from the very beginning, that, he's not just up against the Republicans, he's up against the billionaires who own these corporations, including the media corporations.
Yep.
And, he hasn't changed his mind about that. And they will fight and do everything they can to smear him and to make people on every level go against him. Like right now, I feel, and I could be wrong about this, but what I see is that MSNBC is building up Elizabeth Warren to get votes away from Bernie.
Huh.
I feel that in the end, they'll turn on if she does what they need her to do, which is to take votes from Bernie. They'll turn on her.
Oh, I have no doubt.
They want Biden, and if Biden self-destructs, which is likely, they want
Delaney.
Mayo Pete.
I thought they wanted Delaney. They were sure touting him after the last debate.
Delaney isn't going to catch on. He's going to be the next one, Frackenlooper go by the wayside.
Yeah. So Frackenlooper announced today he's out. We knew that was coming. Is he going to run for Senate, do you think? And if he does, can he win?
Yeah, I do think. He hasn't announced he's going to run for Senate, but everyone in Colorado who's familiar with him saying he's putting a campaign together. So he is running for Senate in Colorado, but it's a problem because he's terrible. But he has gigantic name recognition.
Yep.
And, a lot of people, and, the DSCC has told him if he runs, they will get completely behind him. Of course they will. He's a conservative.
Right, he's one of theirs.
And there's a good progressive candidate who's running who has a good shot at winning, and that's Andrew Romanoff, the former Speaker of the House there, the State House. And, I have a feeling that this isn't going to hurt Andrew that badly because there are already two high-profile conservatives in that race, Bear and Johnson. So now you have a third one. So they're going to split up some kind of conservative vote, and hopefully. And, Andrew just has to make certain that he keeps pounding and pounding that he's the guy who's in favor of Medicare for all, that he's the guy who's in favor of the Green New Deal, that he's the guy who's in favor of free state colleges, that he's the guy who's in favor of raising the minimum wage. And, as long as he keeps doing that, I think he's going to have a very, very good shot at winning. He's unable to raise the kind of money that that someone like Hickenlooper and Johnson and Bear can raise. They are raising very, very big money, but that's because they're corporate shills.
Right.
So that's who raises big money. But he's doing okay. He's not raising as much as them, but he's raising enough to run a campaign.
Okay. Well, good to know. By the same,
We're going to endorse him.
Okay.
Probably on the same day that Hickenlooper announces that he's running.
Good. All right. I like that. Is there anybody who's going to run against Steve King? Why did the Republicans let this bigot remain in office? Because they are bigots.
So he has
Okay, so first of all, J.D. Shulton is the Democrat who's running. He's the guy that ran last
time. He's great.
Nearly beat him.
Mm-hmm.
He had no help from the DCCC last time and came within just within 10,000 votes of beating the guy, which is incredible when you consider it's like, you know, the reddest district in Iowa, but one of the reddest districts in America. It's an R+11 district. It's insane. The DCCC wouldn't even look at it. And this time they will. This time they're going to get behind J.D., I feel. I don't know that for sure, but I think that they will help him. And he's, you know, this is the first time he ever ran for office. He's just a former baseball player. And he ran, and now he was unknown. Now he's known.
Yeah.
So he has name recognition. In the interim, King was kicked off his committee, so he can't do anything to help the people in the district. And, you know, he's gone off the rails with his racism and fascism. Yesterday, even Liz Cheney,
yes,
one of the furthest members of Congress and who's on also on the leadership of the Republican Party, she called for him to resign.
Yep.
So I feel that J.D. has a good chance. But I think the question you were asking is, are the Republicans running anyone against him? And the answer is yes.
Really?
They have I think they have three candidates. It might be four, but they definitely have three candidates who are already in, who are now actively running against him. And they have three more who are talking about getting in. So I have a suspicion there's going to be a runoff among the Republicans.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
They're all terrible. I mean, yeah. None of the Republicans who are running are any good. I mean, they're all horrible. You know, the one who's sort of there's a state senator who's kind of thought of as the guy who's in the lead. He's not. I mean, no one can be as bad as Steve King, obviously. But when it comes to voting, he would vote exactly the same as Steve King. There wouldn't be one vote that's changed from that kind of a change. That's how terrible he is.
Right. And then, of course, there are the two biggest stories of the day. One is the signs of a global recession coming, and Donald Trump trying in these weird ways to, you know, threaten the Fed chairman to lower interest rates at a time of historic interest, you know, low interest rates, historic low unemployment. That's not when you lower interest rates. He's got all the, you know, there's no other way to avoid a downturn, because he's got the advantages that are usually put in place to fix a faltering economy. He's really fucking it up. And this is something that would get any other president run out of town on a rail, wouldn't it? And yet it's like that slow motion train wreck that's still happening.
But if you talk to his own supporters, They just repeat what he says, which is,
yeah,
this is the strongest economy in the history of the known universe,
yeah,
and the best it's ever been, and everything is the greatest, and everyone is employed, and blacks and Hispanics have the most they've ever had. I mean, and they'll repeat that word for word. I mean,
mm-hmm,
I hear it all the time. So it hasn't sunk in yet. I and then this whole thing with the Christmas thing of holding off on the tariffs.
Yeah.
I mean, first he said that the American consumers don't pay anything
right,
for the tariffs, which is a lie.
Yep.
And he keeps insisting on that. And then he's saying, okay, well, we're going to hold off on the tariffs till after Christmas so no Americans will be hurt. Well, how do you think that up? I mean, I don't know.
I can't figure out anything in terms of how his mind works, because it clearly doesn't. It's a broken mind, and it's like the emperor's new clothes. At least the Democrats are calling it out, but the Republicans are just sitting there looking stupid. This should destroy the Republican Party. They should be beat so soundly November 2020 that it should be a no-brainer, but that's not what's going to happen. We're split too horribly in this country. It's the lying enablers and the realists, I guess. I don't know. It's just a situation that just doesn't make sense.
Don't be too pessimistic. There is a chance that the Democrats can take back the Senate, and there's even a better chance that the Democrats are going to win as many seats as they won last time, or possibly even more. I mean, last time it was about 40 seats. This time they have a shot at either duplicating that or winning about 50 seats. A lot of that has to do with Texas and the fact that the DCCC screwed up Texas last time.
Their
vice chair
for that region wasn't just left, like the day after he was appointed, basically. And the D-Trip kept saying, "We're going to replace him. We're going to replace him." And they never did.
Mm.
So they just ignored Texas. There were at least 5 or 6 seats that they could have won, which hopefully they'll win this time.
I hope so. From your mouth to the universe's ears. Howie Klein, as always, find him at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America PAC, finding the best progressive candidates that you can happily support without worrying. Thanks again, everyone. See you tomorrow. Bye.